Will you open your Bibles with me to Psalm, the book of Psalms, and we'll be reading Psalm 104. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, thou art very great, thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the water, and who makes the clouds his chariot, who walked upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coveredst it with deep, as with a garment. The waters stood up above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hastened away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation that sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. The wine that maketh glad the heart of man, the oil that make his face to shine, and the bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted. And may the Lord bless the reading of his precious word to us. Now, there's so much to say in those 16 verses. We could be here all night. The blessings of God. He just showers his blessings down upon us. He gives us that joy, that peace, that fullness, that inexplicable love. He created all these things so beautiful. The fowls of the air, the habitation, they sing in the branches. We're going to single out the tree. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. I want to talk about palm trees. But I want to relate palm trees to Christians. And you know that there is a relationship? Did you know that there's a definite relationship between palm trees and Christians? You see, while the hearts of ordinary trees are dead, the heart of the palm tree is alive. We had a tree once near our home. We had a gardener, and we told the gardener to trim a particular tree that side. But it was a Mexican gardener, and I don't speak Spanish, and he didn't speak English. And he trimmed the one right in front of our bedroom. He took an axe, and I went inside, and I heard him axing. I suppose that's correct, axing. It must be axing. It can't be cutting. Axing. Chopping is the word. Chopping. Chopping this tree. And he chopped all around the bark. And I went out, and I remember my wife had given me a cup of tea, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the sensible time to drink tea. And I went out and I saw him chopping this bark, and I stopped him. I said, "Stop it!" And he smiled at me and he went on. And I said, "Albertos!" Or then whatever, Filipino, whatever his name was, "Stop it!" And I rushed and grabbed the axe, but it was too late. He'd cut a ring right around the bark, and that, of course, kills a tree. Because as you know, the water, the sap goes through the bark. But the heart of the tree is dead. It's just the bark. The only tree in the world that has a heart, where the water comes up from that ground in the middle to feed its leaves, is the palm tree. It's the only tree. And that's like a Christian, you see. It has a heart. And all the other trees have no heart at all. Because of the life of the palm tree comes inside, it's a very special tree. You see, 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16 tells us, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And we're like a palm tree. Our inward man is renewed day by day because the water comes through the heart of the palm tree to the leaves. And that's extremely important. Our food, our sustenance, our spiritual life comes through the inner man. And the outer man might degenerate. And all of you would probably realize that, especially those who are a little bit older, because you only have to look in the mirror and you'll see that you've a little, your degeneration is there almost day by day for some of us, but certainly year by year. But we don't degenerate because our souls are fed by the inner Spirit of God. And in that respect, we like a palm tree. A palm tree. Did you know that the palm tree is mentioned all over the Word of God? In Deuteronomy 20, verse 19, Isaiah 61, 1, 2, 3, it speaks about the righteousness of the palm tree. The righteousness, the tree of righteousness. And of course, it's spoken of in Revelation in several places. It's also spoken of course, in Genesis. Genesis, the tree of life. And Proverbs 3, verses 18 and 11, 30, and Ezekiel, and all over the Word of God, we see the palm tree is mentioned. It has certain significance. But the important thing is for us to relate ourselves to a palm tree. Palm trees, you know, can endure unbelievable storms. Lisa and I, my wife and I, were in Mauritius on an island in the Indian Ocean. And we arrived there, it was beautifully calm and everything else. And we were there for about 3 or 4 days. And what would happen, of course, is a hurricane would blow through. And have you ever seen a palm tree bend in a hurricane? Now, you've had hurricanes here. I don't know whether you've been outside to watch palm trees when they came. But we had a second-story room. And we, of course, were ensconced in that room because we couldn't get out. In fact, we nearly didn't have any food because the waiters didn't want to go. It was an outside balcony that they had to walk along to come to the door. And the only way they could come is to crawl, literally crawl with a tray covered up with things. And that went on for about a day and a half. It was terrible. But we looked out the windows and we saw palm trees bend right over. They were almost parallel with the ground. You see, God, in his absolute wisdom, has designed those leaves to let the wind filter through. But you know, an ordinary tree's leaf doesn't let the wind filter through. Have you seen those trees? Big leaves like this? The wind is not designed, or it's not designed to let the wind filter through. So the wind catches these leaves, bends a tree, and they break. But not with a palm tree. It filters through. And because the palm tree has inner strength, it allows the wind to blow right over it, and it bends. We're like that. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. We bend because we've got inner strength. You see, the whole world can fall down around you. But when you've got Christ in you, you stand. All things can go wrong. But you can kneel at the foot of your bed and you can say, my God, your word tells me to be thankful and to give thanks in all things. Now, my God, your word doesn't tell me that I must understand. Your word just says, be thankful. If it said, understand and be thankful, then I would have a real problem because what's happening to me now is tough, Lord. And I don't feel like giving thanks. But you didn't say I should feel like giving thanks. You said, give thanks in all things. And therefore, I know you love me. You're my Father. And you'll give me that inner strength that's needed in times of real need, Lord. And therefore, I can say to you, thank you, Lord, in all things. It's easy if you haven't had any problems. But when you've had heartbreaking things happen to you in your family, when things seem to have just fall away, break up in pieces, when your loved ones let you down, when people walk away from you, when there's tears and anguish and heartache, you're like a palm tree. You let those winds just blow right through you because your inner strength is a spiritual strength, not an outward strength, not a physical strength, but an inward strength that comes from God. And only when you have the Spirit of God can you possibly kneel before God and say, my God, my whole life, my whole world is crumbling around me. But thank you, Lord, I can say thank you. Because you have given me a most wonderful promise. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now, I'm going to go off on a little tangent just for a second. Because many people love to leave out that phrase, and who love God. They say, all things work together for those who are called, those who are God's children. But they leave out that little part who love God. If you don't love God, that's not true. All things do not work together for good. Sometimes God has to hammer you. But it's that little part of that verse that's important to love. And I want to ask you, do you love Jesus? Oh, I know you know Jesus. I know you're Christians. And many of you are members of churches. But have you a love affair with Jesus? Do you really have a love affair with Jesus? I've got a daughter, and I went sailing once to an island, and we hired a boat for the youth. Not only these youth, we had 10 or 12 or something like that aboard. And she said, I met a boy at the camp, and he lives at Catalina, and he's coming to visit us. Do you mind if he sails with us? And so I said, sure. And he came along, and we were moored at Avalon, and he came along with a little power boat, and suddenly he saw Catty on the deck,
And he lost his head. Hi, Catty! And the boat went right into our yacht.
What an introduction. You know? What an introduction. And then foolishly I said to him, well, you know the island. Would you like to show me around? I didn't expect that he was going to move in for a week. But he brought his goods, and he brought his guitar, and he brought his ghetto blaster. And I said, oh, no. I can't believe it. Anyway, to cut a long story short, two boys were in love with one girl. And the last night we were in Avalon, I wanted to go to bed early because we were going to set sail at 4 o'clock the next morning because I had to get back to San Diego, and it's quite a long, it's 90 miles, and I didn't know what the winds were going to be like. So I said, I'm going to leave at 4 o'clock. I said to my darling, beautiful, loving wife, you all know Lisa, honey, don't let the kids stay out too late this night. And of course, she's very soft-hearted and loving, and they talked her into letting her go out. And I said to her, well, then you're going to take care of them when they come back, but I'm going to sleep. But don't let them make a noise. So I went into my cabin, went to sleep, and I left the hatch open. And I woke up to the most peculiar sounds in the world. The most peculiar sounds. Because from the one side of the boat, right up forward, there was a guy singing on a guitar, I love you, darling Catty. And from the cockpit, there was a guy crying. And I couldn't believe it. So I jumped up and I went up, and there was this poor man, poor guy, buried his head in my wife's skirt, crying her heart out because Catty was being sung to by another guy up the top there. Now you see what a tragic situation that can be. So I want to ask you the question. Here you have one guy who's composed a song for a little girl, and the other guy crying his heart out for the same little girl. They both love a little girl, and they prepare to give their lives. That's love. Do you love Jesus anything like that? Do you really? Do you really love Jesus? I know you know about Jesus, but so does Satan. I know you know the Word, but so do the demons. I know you call yourself a Christian, but you see, the Lord said that there are going to be many who are going to stand in front of me and say, Lord, Lord, and he's going to say, I'm sorry, I never knew you. Do you have a love affair with Jesus? Because that's what he expects. Because he gave himself for you. He did everything that was necessary for you to love him. Are you so taken up with life that you don't love Jesus? Well, the palm tree tells us so much more. Did you know that the palm root is the same size at the stem as it goes into the ground? And at its base, it's not like most roots. You know, they start thick and they go thinner and thinner and thinner. They go into the ground. Not a palm tree. It's exactly the same dimension as it starts from its very base all the way down. It has a massive root system. Thick roots, massive. You try to take a palm tree out. We tried. It's very, very difficult to get out. You see, because the palm tree sends their roots deep into the ground, they're able to tap resources of nourishment that are not available on the surface. And that's another good picture of a Christian. Because we have the Spirit of God, we can have roots that go deep, deep, deep down to the love of God. We have unbelievable resource. What do we do with that resource? Do we understand that we've got this resource? Do we understand that God has given us this magnificent resource to tap from? We become just like the world, long-faced people. We don't understand that God is affected by our faces. Sometimes we think we're only our friends around us affected. But why is it that we've always got miserably long faces? You've got to be happy because you can tap the resources of God. And a palm tree tells us this. A palm tree shows us why it has this unbelievable strength, because of its root system. Have you got a root system like that? When last have you made a study of this beautiful, magnificent Word of God? Because you see, God speaks to us. Hebrews tells us in past times he spoke through us through the prophets. But in these days he speaks to us through his Word, because we have his completed Word. We're not going to get anything else. Do you know that God's given you everything he's going to give you? Everything he's going to give you, you've already got. And if you're seeking, I get people come to me in my in my office and they say, oh, I'm seeking things from God. And I say, well, you're going to seek a long time because he's given you everything. What do you mean, Dr. Zertner? He's given you. It's everything he has contained. Everything. That's all he's going to give you. And that's all that you've got to go to, because he's got everything in this Word. And that's what I mean. A root system that is unbelievable. that will give you strength and power and joy and fullness. And it'll give you the guts to go out and to witness for Jesus Christ because you've got a love affair. How easy it is to tell somebody about the person you love. Have you got a daughter that sometimes comes into you and says, "Oh, Daddy, I'm in love." And you know, everything goes wrong. Cups fall in the kitchen and you find the knives and forks in the different positions and all sorts of things are funny. She's in love. Goes to her head. Do you feel that way about Jesus? Do you really? Because I'll tell you, if you did, you'd be able to go for it to his word, not because you have to, not just because you want to be clever, not just because you want the knowledge, but because you want to love him in the right way. You want to read his love letter, because this is the love letter of God to you. It's your love letter. Every page is a love letter to you. You shouldn't have to go to it as a study. You should be anxious to read it, because it contains love from God to you. Just like that palm tree's tremendous, unbelievable root system, so this is your root system that can feed you. And I've got good news for the older people. The older a palm tree grows, the sweeter the fruit becomes. And so many people do get sweeter, but you see there's more to it. Ordinary fruit trees diminish their yield as they grow older, but not a palm tree. Palm trees do not bear fruit until they mature. And the process sometimes requires a long time, over 50 years, they tell me. Now, thank the Lord that it doesn't take us 50 years to mature, because we'd be in trouble. But what I want to do is apply this to your spiritual life. You see, you can mature in direct proportion to the time you spend with God. It's just simple as that. When Lisa found the Lord, I found her in the study the next day, before the break of day. And she was reading the word. She grew in 10 years more than I grew in 30 years. It was a shame. I was jealous. But God worked in my heart too, because she started asking me questions that I thought, well, I even once said to her, "Who have you been seeing secretly, Lisa?" You know, but it was wonderful. But she bathed herself in the word. And that's how we mature. It's a wonderful process, maturing in Christ. And when you look back, have you grown immensely, or have you grown just a teeny little weeny bit? How much growth have you had in the last few years? Are you victorious now? Do you know him better, or are you just exactly the same? Let me tell you, if you're exactly the same, you haven't walked with Jesus. Oh yes, I know that you're born again by the Spirit of God. I know the blood of the Lamb has taken away your sins, and I know that you're going to be in eternity, but have you grown? What have you got to show Jesus when you see him face to face? Are you going to say, "Oh boy, I've had a battle. Life has been tough on me. I've had this loss and I've had that loss and this has happened and that's happened." Or are you going to say, "Notwithstanding all the problems, Lord, I've grown. And although it's inexplicable, with all the heartache and all the problems I've had, I can still say I'm victorious in you, Jesus. Because all that matters is you and me." Because ultimately that's all that matters. Not your family, not your loved ones, not anything else. It's you and Jesus. And you're going to have to answer one day. And some of you are gifted. And he's going to say, "Look at those gifts I gave you. Oh, but Lord, I had so many problems. I just couldn't handle them. Lord, I just couldn't handle them. You know." You'll say, "My grace was sufficient for you." And sometimes he gives the problems to those people who have the backs to carry them. Let me tell you. And he gave you those problems so that you could come out of them victorious for him. What else can you give him? You can't give him anything else. What else is there to give him? You can't write a check out to him. If you think you're going to write a check and give it to the church, that's not giving. He wants you. He wants your experiences. He wants all those heartaches. And he wants you to see. He wants to see how you deal with them in the love of Jesus Christ. And the older you get, the more you'll be able to give him, because the more spiritual strength that you'll have. Let me give you a psalm, beautiful psalm, 92 verse 14. "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age." They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. "They shall be fat and flourishing." That word "flat," just in case you think you can go and get obese now, and some of you are doing pretty well, means healthy. Means healthy. I don't mean that badly. I mean that in terms of the scripture. Don't shake your head as if I... It's a scriptural verse. It says there, look here, I'll read it to you. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. You're thinking of the younger men, Lisa. I'm talking about the old age one. There's no old age people here who are obese. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourish. Psalm 92:14. And praise God that we can flourish in Christ. Flourish in Christ. Praise God that we can flourish in Christ. That's what keeps me going. The Word of God. Because I get older every year. I don't know whether you do the same, but I get older every year. And I claim these verses. I say, you tell me that as I get old, I'm going to flourish more. You're going to give me more strength. You're going to give me greater vigor, more energy, Lord. And I'm claiming it in the name of Jesus. Pour yourself through me, my Father, and remove anything that's an obstacle. Just take it away, Lord, even if it's painful. And he does. And sometimes it's painful. And I take a great deal of pleasure knowing that the older we get, the sweeter the fruit, more spiritually we'll be able to administer his word. And then Leviticus 23 verse 40 tells us that the palm branches are associated with rejoicing during the Feast of the Tabernacles. The Feast of the Tabernacles, of course, relate to the events in Revelation 21, when the bride and the Lamb's wife comes, and the tabernacle of God will be with men, and he shall dwell with them. And in Revelation 7 verse 9, we see a great multitude of the saved with palm trees in their hands. In verse 17 we read, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and we'll have palm trees in our hand, palm leaves, and we'll be just waving them, praising God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? And we'll have no more tears. No more tears. Something is a promise for the future. Isn't that a wonderful promise to know that God is going to wipe away all tears? There'll be no illness. There'll be no pain. But the palm leaf, isn't it significant, is still there. Now, I'm not suggesting that the palm leaf is holy. I'm not going to try to tell you that it's a holy tree or anything like that. That's nonsense. But isn't it significant that the palm tree is singled out? All its strength comes through the middle of it. Right in the middle, nothing can damage, and it looks so bad and broken outside, but it's that spiritual strength in the Christian that grows, and that's where the leaves spread out and the blessing is seen. Well, the question arises, are you going to flourish like a palm tree? Are you? Do you have that inner strength? Where are you getting your strength? Outwardly? Most people get them outwardly. The world, all outwardly. All they seek is outward strength. What they look like, what they dress like, what cars they ride, what jewelry they have, what suits they put on, where they go for vacations, what type of hotels they stay in, what sort of meals they eat. Everything is related to the outward man in the world. And because we live with the world, you and I as Christians rub shoulders with the world, we become like them. We don't even know it sometimes. It happens so quickly we don't even perceive it. It just happens. And slowly, Satan is such a crafty devil. Slowly he takes away that beauty of walking with God. Slowly he takes that beauty away. And you lose out. And you become like an ordinary tree. And that strength doesn't flow up in spiritualness, in that great spiritual power that God means every one of you to have. Doesn't single out anybody. You all should have it. If you're like that, why don't you do something about it? All you want to do is determine in your own mind that you're going to fall in love with Jesus. Simple language. And I like it because I'm in love with Jesus. I don't come here with great oratory. I don't come here with unbelievable knowledge. I come in the love of Jesus Christ to you. And you know, why am I talking to you like this? Because I love him. And why do I want you to love him? Because I know how much you can do for him.